Welcome to Flick Flops, the podcast where we review critically bad movies so you don't have to.
From box office bombs to straight to streaming duds, we take a deep dive into the films that missed the mark.
Each episode, we'll break down a different movie and give you our honest thoughts on what worked, what didn't, and everything in between.
Whether you're a diehard movie buff or just looking for a good laugh, we've got you covered.
So grab some popcorn and get ready to join us on a journey through the world of critically bad cinema. This is Flick Flops.
On today's episode, we're talking about the 2008 comedy The Love Guru, starring Mike Myers as Guru Pitka, a self-help guru who becomes embroiled in a celebrity couple's marital problems. Joining Myers in this disaster of a film are Jessica Alba, Justin Timberlake, and Vern Troyer. Critics and audiences alike were left disappointed by this film, with Rotten Tomatoes giving it 13% and calling it an aggressively unfunny comedy, and the New York Times calling it an exercise in desperation. Andy, what do you got?
According to Amazon, this is a hilarious comedy starring Mike Myers as Guru Pitka in his first original character since the blockbuster hit Austin Powers. Myers plays an American raised in India by gurus and returns to the U.S. in order to break into the self-help business. His unorthodox methods are put to the test when he must settle the romantic troubles and subsequent professional skid of a star hockey player whose wife left him for a rival athlete. Mini-Me is back from Austin Powers and plays the hockey coach for more classic comedy moments that will have the audiences laughing from opening to closing credits. And what you couldn't see there, Gary, was I was on a lot of air quoting.
That was super generous of Amazon with that one. Desperate for
viewers. I air quoted the word hilarious comedy and right. Air quote laughing from opening to closing credits. Right. That's how we're going to start this. This did, for the record, this box office, this had a $62 million budget and made a killer $40 million in total. Opening weekend, this thing came in number four behind such classics as Get Smart, The Incredible Hulk, and Kung Fu Panda. Gary, what was that Rotten Tomatoes score again?
That was 13%. Four, just for the record, four sounds a little high. So number four in, for that weekend.
We really should dig in and see what the entire run of movies were that weekend. And like, okay,
I wouldn't mind checking that. So Rotten Tomatoes currently at a 13% for the tomato meter. The audience score 33%, so a little bit more generous.
Jeez. I think 13's being generous. So the audience, I think Mike Myers has a lot of fans, so I'll give him that. I dug up a quote from another critic, Gary, to Harry Knowles from Ain't It Cool News. This made me laugh out loud. His quote is, "It isn't merely a bad film, but a painful experience." End quote.
I would say that one's sort of, okay. Well, we'll get into all of that. I found a nice quote that a little bit longer than that one, so bear with me a moment. But Lee Patch, I don't know how to pronounce her name, Lee. From Herald Sun in Australia, Myers has this, and I picked it out for this particular reason, which I think we'll hit on at some point. But Myers has this unerringly creepy way of delivering punchlines straight to the camera and laughing like a ninny. He does it too quickly, almost desperately, as if he knows the audience won't be chuckling once the joke is told. That I really felt like that summed up a lot of how.
So I think that's a good assessment because I. In watching it, I felt the same. I'm like, you're cueing us when to laugh. That's not good comedy.
Right. Right. Yeah.
You know, the laugh should come automatically. You know, and I'll say this. I love Mike Myers, so I enjoy his films. Having said that, and he's got great comedic timing. You know, you watch, go back and watch the Austin Powers films, and I don't need to be cued to laugh. You know, right. the jokes hit. They land. His character is great. This one, I didn't have that same feel. I mean, there's a lot of times I'm looking at it, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I get what you're trying to go with this, but yeah. You didn't make it there. You took the alternate route. You did not listen to Waze. You went the other way.
I will say the only moment, and we can break down into pieces and stuff if we want to at some point, but I will say the only moment I felt was the earned look at the camera was there's a moment where they're in a car and he's flipping through the stations. I think he's in a, and then Bohemian Rhapsody comes on and he looks at the camera and I'm like, that's the only time that seemed appropriate.
I agreed. I did kind of snicker to myself. I was like, yeah, it's well played because, you know, he did create such an iconic moment with that. I mean, who of us doesn't, when that song comes on in their car, doesn't start just popping your head and, you know, so yeah, good stuff. So let's break this thing down, Gary.
You know what? I totally forgot to, I wanted to start off with it, and I think maybe it was because of, we kind of got in the weeds on the director thing, but I did want to greet you with a Mariska Hargitay.
Oh, for the love of God. Can we hold on? I have issues. Yeah, Mariska Hargitay to you, Gary.
Mariska Hargitay. Okay. Yeah, that was...
I had made a specific note about that while watching this film.
Yeah. Did you count?
Okay.
All right. Never mind. We'll get to that.
I'll save that. That's in my low light later on. So continue with our analysis. I'm sorry. I don't want to jump ahead. We're trying to maintain a schedule here.
Right.
So real quick, my analysis, and I'll start, and then you can chime in, and then you can break yours down. But a couple of things, and I mean, I don't have a ton. I'm not going to just rip the film apart. If you want to watch it, watch it, and you can agree or disagree. But I was put off by the awkward Indian accents. Mike Myers was weird because he wasn't quite fully into an Indian accent. So at least the way I heard it, it was kind of like he was almost like it was just an affect to his own language, his own words. So he didn't sound like a Pooh from The Simpsons, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
It was a guy just badly throwing in Indian, like every so often, a word that he wanted to make it sound like, you know, like when he's singing one of the songs, more than words, it's more than birds.
Right.
You
know, right. He
picks things where he wants to really accentuate, and then he backs off a little, put off a little by that. And just a note at the very end, and I'm going to throw it in now because without spoiling this already spoiled film, there's a musical number at the very end where Jessica Alba is in India singing with the song with Mike Myers. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you caught this, but then she suddenly has a full-blown Indian accent singing the song.
I didn't really pick up on it, no.
And it bumped me. I'm like, why would you have the Indian accent? You just got there, and there's no need for you to have it when the entire rest of the people around you have the Indian accent.
Yeah.
So it just, again, and I don't want to sit there and be like, I'm not super woke. I'm not super offended by it. It sounded weird to me. All the Indian by Mike Myers and then when Jessica Alba hits it at the very end just sounded like, I'm like, why would you do that? It was just it was unnecessary.
Yeah. I almost felt like I was wondering if it was going to be like sort of trying to be an homage to like Bollywood type stuff. Cause I definitely, that's what that dance kind of thing at the end is, I think, supposed to be.
I'd like to do a Bollywood thought of that.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's kind of how I felt sort of through the whole thing.
Like you feel like I feel a little weird watching this.
And I'm not usually like, I don't really see things as offensive too often. I just don't.
Right.
I mean, maybe that's a failing, but when I go into a comedy, I'm kind of thinking, well, it's comedy and that's a safe place to kind of rip on everything. But, but there were two things that really bothered me about this one. And it was, I don't know if this is interrupting your whole flow or not, but
no, go ahead.
But the Bollywood thing was like, it didn't seem as much of an homage to it as like the in and out of the accent thing, like you're discussing and all that stuff. And like, I get it, ribbing it a little bit or whatever, that's fine. But the one that actually really got to me that I probably never would have even noticed. At least this was the second time watching it for me, by the way. Thank you for making me.
Oh, God. Listen, I felt bad as I struggled through this film. I was like, oh, my God, Gary had to watch this.
Right.
Like, I can go to my grave knowing I would never see this film again.
Right. But the and it's something I probably didn't catch the first time because I know I watched the whole movie I don't know how the first time. But something I didn't really notice until this time, at least that I'm aware of, was how much the animosity between Vern Troyer's character and the guru Pitka, Mike Myers, in the movie seemed totally unearned. Like, why was that such a thing?
Yeah, it was forced.
It was from the get-go with him.
Yeah, from the very beginning, Troyer was like, you know, what's with this guy? You know, he was really against having this guy part of the come in. And it just continued through the whole movie. That's a great way to put it, unearned. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, there was nothing.
There's no lead up to it.
Yeah, not at all. And in fact, I was thinking, you know, for somebody that's such a guru, this is putting way too much thought into this. Okay, I admit this is a stupid comedy, but I'm putting this kind of thought of like, and for somebody that's a guru, that's like all about self-help and trying to find the best and all of the nonsense catchphrases that he comes up with that he trademarks. All of the great, you know, things he's trying to bring out the best in you kind of thing. As soon as he meets Vern Troyer's character, he's an ass to him from the get go. And I didn't understand that at all.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I mean, I was so wrapped up in other stuff that was bothering me. I didn't even see that.
The other's plenty to get upset about, but
yeah, I mean, upset, that's the thing,
wrong word, but you know what I mean?
Well, be a bother. Just, I mean, keep in mind, we don't want these podcasts to be an hour and a half long, but we could easily do more than 88 minutes longer than the movie, breaking down how bad this movie was.
Right.
That's a nice little thing there. I think, like we stated earlier too, so going on with like the direction, I didn't have any issues with it as far as the directing goes. I mean, again, I don't know enough about directing, but it seemed fine. The average guy, who we're trying to talk to, is the average person. It's fine. There's no issues with it. There's no bad cuts. There's no
awkward like scenes that stand out to draw attention to it, I think.
Yeah, I didn't notice continuity errors, which is usually a thing I find, and they bug me a lot when I see a continuity issue. I just didn't see it. There were things that I just didn't get in the movie, but that falls to the writing. And to me, the only issues I found, and again, this falls to the writing, were the story was just kind of weak, in my opinion, and the bad adolescent jokes teen jokes. I mean, I love sophomoric humor. I think you and I we've built a friendship on sophomoric humor.
Right.
This just isn't good sophomoric humor.
Right.
So I'm like, dude, like, again, you and I are both the same. It's hard to offend me. Truly it is. You can tell me the worst joke and I'll be like, nah, it's okay. These just didn't land. They just weren't funny, and they were tired. Some of them were just tired. I'm like, I don't need this out of you. Make another Austin Powers film. They hit. They're perfect.
I was trying to figure out the inspiration behind it. Like, what was it that they were sitting around, and he's like, you know what? Like, maybe it was the little catchphrase stuff. Maybe it was like, oh, I think I can, you know, the whole, gosh, it's so terrible that I can't even come up with them. You're not nowhere. You're now here, and
I've got a page of those in front of me.
Yeah, I don't know if we need to go through them all, but it was just that it's like always finding a way to it kind of lampoons sort of the self help thing, which I get, you know, the whole self help field that's probably multi-billion-dollar industry with the cute little catchphrases that kind of, you know. Oh, that's an easy way to remember that I'm, you know, I don't know if that's what the inspiration initially was behind it. And that, you know, like, oh, these are some cool ideas. I can rework these words to mean this and then use them in a movie. But it falls flat because there's just nothing else. I mean, not even that. That's not even good, I guess. It's like a half-baked concept that then they tried to make a whole movie out of. It's like a bad sketch on SNL that they tried to turn into a movie.
Exactly. I guarantee you this came about from he was either, and I don't know if Mike Myers smokes dope or not. This just sounds like he was sitting around with some buddies, and he was cracking some jokes along the vein of this film. And they're all like, man, that's funny. And it's almost like, if you remember way back in our younger lives, Gary, where we thought we were funny and say, man, we should try stand-up. One of us should jump up on an open mic night. And then our brain said, hey, just because you can make Gary and Kevin laugh does not mean you can make other people laugh. So do not do this.
Yeah.
And I never pursued. I don't know if you ever did, but
no.
I think that this in that where he makes his friends laugh, like when he made up what I call the Gary Busey isms.
Oh yeah, there you go. That's great. I never thought of it that way, but that's great.
And he may have been watching Celebrity Rehab and watching Gary Busey at the time and went, oh my God, I could make a whole character out of this guy. You could just film Gary Busey. It would be funnier.
You know, you were nowhere. But now you're here.
Here, and point to your chest.
That's the best I can do. I don't know. Short notice on that.
Yeah, those are my... that's my analysis of it. And there's some acting things we'll get into in lowlights and highlights, but I have some questionable things. Like, I don't know why this actor chose to be in this movie.
Yeah, that's
we can get into that in a minute if you want.
We can start there now if you want. I don't know if there's some other.
I don't have any more analysis unless you have something you want to add.
I will say I think all of mine are individual like pieces. But overall, I feel like we kind of covered the overall synopsis, sort of how I felt about it. I wouldn't mind digging into little pieces here and there.
I'm going to read the cast to you real quick, and I'll just read it, and then we will break down some things that I just
stop when you feel surprised that this person was in this movie.
Okay. So it starts with Mike Myers. He's the star. Jessica Alba. I think a fine fit for her. She wasn't, and I don't think is still a big star, so she fits fine, and she plays the character well.
Hey, she does a great job of fake laughing the entire movie.
I think everybody gets credit for that.
No. Well, that's true. In the movie, yes. On the couch at home watching it?
Yes. I'm sure this is sitting in the front of her DVD catalog at the house. Justin Timberlake, I was surprised by it, and pleasantly surprised. I thought he was really good at what he did in the movie. Vern Troyer, what else is he going to do?
Yeah.
Ben Kingsley.
Right.
Gary?
I know.
He has won an Academy Award.
That's freaking Gandhi, man.
When I saw him on the entrance screen, I was like, what was he paid to enter this movie?
Dude, that's in my notes.
Okay. Yep. John Oliver.
Yeah.
This seems like he just got a bunch of his comedic friends in. John Oliver, Stephen Colbert, Jim Gaffigan, Daniel Tosh, who I like Tosh, so I was not pleasantly surprised to see him. Very small role, but I was like, oh, there's Tosh.
Right.
The aforementioned Mariska Hargitay makes an appearance.
How could she not?
Jessica Simpson, Kanye West was a surprise when I saw him, just because I think he's such a tool.
Mike Myers as Mike Myers, starring with Kanye West. Probably a throwback to that whole
the George Bush thing.
Yeah.
During Hurricane Katrina,
right?
And the last two, Val Kilmer, who is uncredited, and Deepak Chopra, of course, makes an appearance. Kilmer, it's irrelevant. He just makes a quick appearance. That's the cast. I'm sure there's people, smaller cast characters I forgot, but they're just, no one's significant in this film. No one. You have thoughts on any of those cast scenes?
I'll come back to the Ben Kingsley, but first I just want to mention that Justin Timberlake, I actually have always enjoyed him, like, yes, in comedic. When he's on Saturday Night Live, it's great. I find him funny.
I think it would behoove him to do a season or two of just be on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
He doesn't need the money, so that's fine. He is outstanding. I think he's a great comedic actor.
Yes.
And I think he was good in this movie. The role he played, he was fine, and I enjoyed seeing Timberlake, so yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah. I will say, other than that, you've got fairly... not huge, but fairly big names in comedy with the ones you mentioned.
Gaffigan?
Yeah. Interesting that between all of them that they couldn't somehow...
Oh, my God.
Make the movie funny? I didn't find any of them funny, actually, any of the comedians.
Colbert's character irritated me.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all.
He made no sense, and he went off the rails. I'm like,
I didn't know if is that some sort of like Canadian hockey thing that we're just missing out on?
I have no idea. And I thought, some of the points where Gaffigan's looking at him with disdain, and I think that's genuine. I think he's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, you are somewhat talented. What is going on next to me?
I did feel a little lost during those scenes because I wondered if there's so much play on words. And again, we'll come back to Ben Kingsley. There's so much play on the names in the movie that I wondered if there was some joke I was missing with the names of the two announcers, Colbert and Gaffigan. I didn't get it.
Colbert's was Jake Hell.
Yeah.
And I kept playing with them. I'm like, Jake Hell, Jake Hell, Jack. Nothing came to me. So if it's that obscure, you're reaching, you're missing your point.
Right.
You're missing your mark with that joke.
Yep.
Anyway.
So I didn't get that. Of course, you had to have Mariska Hargitay in there because how could you not when you've name dropped her the entire freaking movie billions of times?
God, Gary, that got on my nerves.
Yeah.
My wife, my better half, who loves Law and Order. Like, oh my God, stop saying her name.
Right. Yeah. But let's just back it up because we really want to talk about Ben Kingsley. quick note, because I did not mention it before. The opening number of the movie, I just want to briefly, because I got this top of my notes, only reason I want to bring it up. The opening number, which was 9 to 5, actually made me want to watch 9 to 5. Which if we did a watch this, not that kind of thing, I would say, even though it has nothing to do with it, watch 9 to 5. I bet it's funnier. I haven't watched it since I was a wee little nard, but I always thought that was funny.
You'll find this funny. It is actually saved on my DVR currently.
I've been wanting to watch it again, funny enough, but that actually made me think of it again. It's like, oh yeah, I want to watch that again. Probably not a good thing for the opening number of a movie that you're getting ready to sit through should do is make you think of a different funny movie.
Here, I can bring this up a little bit in our background, see if I can get this to play it, how well it'll come across. Can you hear that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
God, I'm going to have to watch this.
Well, I'm dead in the summer to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition. Yawn and stretch and try to come to life.
That's being played on a sitar for those that watch this and don't want to watch it.
Nobody wants to watch it.
This is the opening credit.
Not working, by the way.
Man,
Berkey. Berkey.
Okay, I'll break that down. That's enough.
Yeah, sorry. I just wanted to. That was one note I didn't want to pass over. when I really wanted to just get to the poor Ben Kingsley. That's how my note is started.
Oh,
poor
Ben Kingsley,
the cross-eyed guru named. What's his name again?
Oh, hold on. I got this written down.
You've got it written down.
Hang on. Let me flip my other page. I'm sorry. Sorry. It is Guru Tugging My Putta.
Tugging My Putta. My Putta.
Puda.
Yeah, My Putta. Whatever. Yeah.
So
yeah,
there was
a lot of jokes about the name. All the guru names were. I don't remember the other ones.
I think I got a couple of them here.
I do notice that you have John Oliver written in your notes for Richard Pants, where he then Mike Myers corrects him, Dick Pants, which not funny.
That's not funny.
I don't understand why that was. Poor Ben Kingsley. By the way, so I started this movie. It did not end this way, but I started this movie while my oldest daughter was working our homework next to me, and on the other side of me was my wife, who was trying to read a book, and the movie's on, and I had to keep telling them, "Leave me alone. I'm trying. This is work.
I'm working.
I'm doing work here." And the moment with Ben Kingsley came up, Guru Tugging My Putta, and I had to pause it. We literally spent like 5 minutes talking about crossing eyes because Tara tried to do the eye crossing like he is in the movie, which I don't know if it's physically possible to do it as bad as it is in that. But I actually had more enjoyment out of laughing 5 minutes of us crossing eyes and trying to show Tara, that's my wife, for anybody that might be listening, has no idea, she couldn't get her eyes crossed the right way. And so that actually was, those 5 minutes were funnier than anything else.
Right. So real quick, I have the other gurus that we missed out. Well, the other one.
Okay, good.
Satya Bhignava.
Yeah.
That was the other guru. We also forgot, I think you mentioned it briefly, when Timberlake's character was, his name is Jacques Grande. And the quote in the middle, his nickname is Lecoq.
Lecoq.
D-O-Q. Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to remember that I did kind of get a snicker out of is the town he was raised in India was Paranmikista.
Right.
But again, that's something that 15-year-old Gary and Andy would have sat and giggled about hysterically.
Maybe.
An adult writing a screenplay would have been like, hey, that's not funny.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
This was, Gary, this was greenlit by a company.
I know. A lot of that wasn't, like, a lot of those little name things, maybe out of context, or maybe like one time during a conversation that might have been like, like a half chuckle. In a movie bereft of comedy, if I'm using that term correctly, it doesn't land at all. None of that stuff landed with me.
No.
I did mention I will say this right after, because it's part of the whole scene with Ben Kingsley. And I don't know if we're veering off here, but there's the stink mop fight.
Oh.
Which was basically just a mop fight with mops that were drenched in piss. And that is the point of the movie.
Not necessary.
Well, that's the point in the movie that I already was fatigued from unfunniness.
It just wasn't neat. It just, no.
Okay. That would have been my turnoff point, I think.
I didn't even write that down on my notes. I just wanted to forget that scene.
Yeah, I wrote stink mop because it was that. At that point, I was like, okay, now my funny bone, if you want to call it that, has been thoroughly assaulted and is not
now
not
funny bone.
It's offended by not laughing once at that point. I wrote down that. Did you want to go anywhere else with the cast? Because I kind of.
No, we can move on there. Like highlights and lowlights, and
that's fine.
Try to wrap up this turd in a nice.
Yeah, we're hitting a longer probably than necessary on this movie, right? Well, I did write down the extreme Indian more than words thing, which you mentioned.
That's on my highlights. I'm with you on that one. Just because we're extreme fans, though.
Right. It was only kind of like and they did the directing part of that was
similar to the video.
Yeah, the sort of pan in. That they did was sort of the same pan in with from the video, same setup. They were sitting in the same sort of position. I wrote down the dining scene where it was a good 2-3 minutes of just some sort of Indian food that was being made into looking like a nutsack. Not funny at all.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Now. I could remember when you said dining. I'm like.
Was there one? Yeah. Well, I only know it because I wrote it. I wrote dining scene, nuts, dumb, and underlined dumb.
My better half looked up at the screen. She goes, "That's disgusting."
Yeah.
And that was the comment I got. She wasn't even watching the film.
Yeah.
She would look up every now and then, and like I think she was just trying to see if I was watching the movie. So.
Yeah. Pardon me. I also wrote down the chastity belt thing and the whole explanation of that. Again, that whole thing was dumb, but I looked at that as dumb in a way that I was not fair looking at it at this movie as dumb. I was like, that could have been addressed when they were first. Well, I'm belaboring the point, but when they were first like romantically kind of connecting.
Yeah.
He at that point in time, he could have easily just said, I've got this thing going on.
Two things.
But it's dumb. Again, it doesn't.
It wasn't needed throughout the entire film. There was no.
Oh, no.
There was no need for it.
No, true.
And then to me, what I felt is the reveal of that at the end, when he takes the belt off, essentially. it was the longest lead up to a non-funny joke.
Right.
Like, it took the whole film to get to this point, and I'm like, this is still, it's still just as dumb as it was when you started this joke. It never lands.
Yeah. It's all, we're still talking about that?
Yeah.
We didn't really talk about the whole, the whole real thing, the whole real purpose of the movie, not purpose of the movie, but the whole plot device of the movie was him trying to get this hockey player
and his wife together.
Trying to get them back together because he's not performing now that his wife is off with Justin Timberlake's character.
The cock.
And he's wanting to get on Oprah so that he can become the number one guru. There's nothing new in the whole, I mean, other than, you know, other than the actual individual pieces of that are different, but there's nothing new in a plot for that. But none of, like, all of the tension or something that you would try to get out of that was, again, I keep thinking I'm applying, like, what I might apply to a regular, talking to about a regular movie, and we're talking about a stupid comedy that... Just trying to have something to make the whole thing plot along. But it was just, there was no payoff on any of it, really. Nothing really, like, I've been to comedies before where there's been this underlying, you know, plot device that kind of carry, you know, the MacGuffin or whatever, something that carries it through, and you get the payoff at the ending, and you get that kind of, oh, it felt good at the ending kind of thing.
Right.
There was nothing to feel good about in this movie.
There was not. I mean, my highlights of this film, I have four things. Town name I thought was tongue-in-cheek funny, Heron McKeister. The adult head on the baby, the kid Mike Myers, I just thought was funny.
Yeah.
For no reason, it's just like, oh, that's funny. If you do it to anybody, I'm going to think it's funny. And the More Than Words song, which is, I just enjoyed it because of the band Extreme. But the one thing, Gary, that I truly got a kick out of, and I think there's a lot of people who will get it, but for you and me, it really hits home. Was the circle game?
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Now they called it something else, but essentially it's the game where you make a circle
looking or something.
Yeah, and you look down, and if you look at the circle, you get punched.
Yeah, and I forgot about that. Yeah.
Gary and I
have been note of that, but
we've been doing that since we've known each other. So mm-hmm. To me, that's I like that. So
right. Yeah, that made me chuckle, but not from the movie, but just from the recollection of us doing it, I guess.
It doesn't belong nostalgia. In the movie. There's no point in it.
Right, yeah.
Quick lowlights for me, if you're done with highlights. My lowlights are, we've talked about already, the Gary Busey-ish word thing.
Yeah.
I have a couple of them here. We'll do them real quick. He says the word cock, which stands for clarity, organization, charm, and knowledge. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. TM.
Right.
Because he trademarks
everything. Yeah.
And that is not funny. It's annoying. He does it constantly. When you break down the word cock like that, it's not funny. It doesn't deliver. His big one was he had blow me.
Right.
Me, loving and open hearted with my emotions.
And you trademark. Could pronounce it. And you could pronounce it bloom.
Yeah. It's just not funny.
Which repeats, bloom.
Then you got the last one, I'll leave it at this, was the drama, which is tattooed on his hand, and that's his philosophy of his guruism. Distract yourself from emotional pain, that's your D. R, regress yourself back to childhood. A, adjust your negativity to make your mature and put it all into action. It's just not funny, Mike Myers, and I'm sorry. I know you tried, but that and that same TM after everything, once or twice is funny. The entire time, it's not. Well, no, it's not even funny once or twice. And then, of course, we've talked about the Mariska Hargitay, which I just wrote got old fast.
Right.
And my last low light, and I mean literally, I was like, this is the only point in the film where I was literally, I don't want to say angry, but I was like, this. This, to me, ruins an already bad film because it was so unnecessary. The elephant sex scene at the end.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, why?
Yeah,
I know why you, for the movie, I know this, why you were trying to do it, but you could have used anything else. This was just a cheap quick grab at trying to be, I don't know what you were trying to be, but it just wasn't funny. And it was awkward. I was like, this is stupid.
And long.
Just, yeah, oh God.
I mean, that part went on longer than it needed to. Like that, which actually could be really the breakdown of the whole movie. Any joke exactly. in the movie went on longer than it needed to.
Yeah, yeah.
The but Love that's Guru.
My highlights and lowlights. If you got anything you want to add, knock yourself out.
I made a note to write down, give me a pound, lock it down, break the tickle. because I did kind of sort of get a chuckle out of that. Very little. The only other thing I wrote down was the only time I actually laughed out loud. Only time, the entire okay. movie. I did not laugh out loud at all until the credits. As soon as yes. the credits roll and they do the one outtake.
Right.
With yeah, Vern Troyer
delivered a line.
A natural moment for him to say something, which I thought was the only... It's sad that it took that long.
It's the funniest part of the film.
Well before you would have turned it off, the actual laugh you would have got it was actually in the credits. Which is, to just say it on here, it would be... There's a mention of, I don't know if it's the director saying it, somebody off camera mentions that we need to adjust the shot because all we can see are asses, which Vern Troyer
yeah.
responds it with, I don't even remember how he said it now. I didn't even write down what he said. I just wrote down that I laughed out loud.
It basically, was something
along the lines of, yeah, like
I know my life's like.
Yeah, tell me about it kind of thing.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that was good.
Funny. That was funny. That was the only funny.
So the funniest
unscripted moment. The
funniest part of an 88-minute comedy came at minute 88.
Pretty much.
Or 87 yeah. and a half.
80 somewhere in there. 80-something moments. So I think we kind of covered everything.
I will mention
one of the things that I did want to do, and we did this, was to talk about how long the movie was, which we noted that's 88 minutes. And I think that if anybody actually listens to this and takes any of our advice from any of this, that we can save them an amount of time in their life that they can never get back.
Yeah, that's kind of a goal. What we're trying to do is like, look, we all like a bad film. Gary and I think we enjoy some of these, truly do enjoy. I mean, I can give you a list of bad films that I just really enjoy.
Yeah.
This one, I felt bad like that. My wife had to. She was sitting in the room and had to hear it.
Yeah,
I mean, my quick conclusion is this film is 88 minutes long, too long. 88 minutes too long. It just didn't need to be made. I would only recommend this movie if you love Mike Myers and you hate yourself. That's my recommendation to this film.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah,
because I love Mike Myers, so I wanted to see it. And at the end, I was like, God, I need to take a shower. Like, I just feel dirty. Like, this movie was bad. So, do you have anything you want to add? You want to do our rankings?
No, I will only mention that that had I been in the theater, going, younger me, because hot on the tails of Austin Powers and.
Yeah,
looking
baby.
Forward to whatever Mike Myers puts out. Had I been going to the theater to see this movie, I can tell you at 32 minutes where the stink mop scene comes in is where I would have gotten up and walked. And I have not walked out of a lot of movies. I fell asleep that I can recall my entire life in two films. And I recall walking out of three films, I think, in my life. 32 minutes in, stink mop, I'm out. I'm out, and I probably would have been the last one there. So I'm guessing that most people would have left before then. I would have been giving it that long to kind of like, come on, Mike. And it just didn't happen. So
I did not denote my walkout moment. I should have done that. But I might be right there with you. The stink mop was, I was just kind of like, I put my hand on my face. I was like, oh, God.
This
is low for lowbrow comedy.
yeah.
All right, so Gary and I each have a ranking system. Right. In our world, five of whatever our rankings are is the worst. You don't want a five in our film world. You want a one or a two. One or two, we would recommend you watch it, maybe even a three. You get beyond three, look, we've warned you at this point. At that point, it's on you. If you get five, you just, Don't. Stop. Don't even mention it. Don't use the words. Don't say it out loud because you might bring up the Candyman.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right.
So my ranking system is I'm going to use poop emojis from the phone. That's my rankings. And I give this a 3.5 poop emojis. It's almost you shouldn't watch it. But like I said, if you really love Mike Myers, give it a shot. You might find some stuff that you do enjoy. Gary and I did not. I watched it. I feel guilty. I want my money back, and I didn't pay for it. So for me, it's 3.5 poop emojis. Gary, what's your last final thought?
So my ranking system, along the same lines. I mean, we're talking about movies that are
turds.
Yeah, let's face it. But I wanted to do something a little bit different. So I went with toilet paper rolls. So I'm going to officially call mine TPs. Not TMs like in the movie. TPs.
TM.
I will say up till 32 minutes in this film. I think 32 minutes was enough, enough for me to take it back a half. But I'm gonna end with 4.5 TPs on this one. Ooh. I found so little redeemably in here that that if you like Mike Myers, please see a different film.
Anything.
Watch something that you've laughed at from Mike Myers before again, as opposed to watching this newer Mike Myers film that you may not have seen. I shouldn't say newer, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, like 2008.
As something new that you haven't seen, skip this, watch something you've seen that you've laughed at.
I think that's better assessment than mine. I mean, I tried to be generous. I didn't want to totally crap on the film. Like, I don't think it's... You shouldn't see it, but man, I mean, this you should only watch. Warning: you should only watch this if you truly love Mike Myers, and that's it. Just so you can say I've seen his entire catalog.
I guess that's where my half comes in.
Yeah, exactly. So. I mean, to drop a quick one, this is almost like Kevin Smith's Yoga Hosers. I sat through it, and we'll talk about it probably at some point in time. Because I love Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Other than that, I felt. Oh my God, stop smoking so much dope. That's it. Right. All right, Gary, you got anything else you want to add or should we wrap this thing up?
I think I'm good. I've said my piece, and I think we probably hit a point in time with it that we've spent way too much time.
We've gone probably 15 minutes further than we should have on this film.
Yeah, at least. Okay.
All right. Thank you, anyone who is actually listening to this. I'm Andy Parker. That's Gary Kelly, and we'll see you again crapping on your favorite movies.
Until then, happy not watching. Right? Okay.
Yeah, exactly.